At.
Are we almost live?
We're live right
yeah!
now.
Yeah!
We had, I know you had to wait to trigger. So Ian did some overexcited even before we went live because that's mm-hmm. how enthusiastic we are for the show today.
Yeah.
Stormy Daniels X-rated testimony. No more boy in Boy Scout. And Jeffrey Toobin bids farewell.
Oh.
A lot of people are going to be sad to see that jerk off go. This is the Propaganda Report. I'm joined by Ian Covell. I'm Brad Binkley. The top story today, at least they tell us anyway, is things got a little X-rated at the Trump hush money trial as Stormy Daniels to the main stage as she testified in a testimony that was described pretty universally and even commented on the judge at the end of the day, testimony that could not be contained. An uncontrollable witness who continued to include unnecessary details of her alleged romp between her and the former president. That left some jurors stunned, a couple of other jurors unable to keep a straight face, and ultimately led to the judge admitting at the end of the trial that, yeah, Stormy was a little bit out of control. And this guy, this is a judge that hates Trump and has done nothing but the most biased behavior towards Trump, ends the trial today with, I can see how the prosecution was a little upset about the continued detailed stories that were completely irrelevant, raunchy, and she wasn't even answering questions, apparently.
No, they're just, everyone involved is just thinking about how they're going to make money after this.
Dude,
the judge,
you're
the jury,
right.
Stormy.
The books that are going to come
out
janitor,
of this. The bailiff.
Who all had sex with Stormy.
Everyone has sex with, well, Stormy's having sex with everybody. There.
Which is like frustrating me. I was looking, trying to find some more details about this and have not been able to find any of the courtroom sketches of her sitting on the judge's gavel.
Yeah. And where are the ones where she's like unbuttoning her blouse?
That's what I would say. What
taking
exactly.
her top off? Where? Yeah, and then like drawing in all the steam.
Yeah,
you know
the erection that goes through the president's suit pants.
Yeah, I haven't seen one erection in a single one of these courtrooms.
It's not
sketches.
Real if we're not seeing an erection. And if I were the prosecution, I want to prove how horny the former president gets, even at an old age, when he sees this woman.
He can't control himself. He's paying off women, grabbing them by the pussy. This guy is out of control.
Miss Daniels, could you please show the courtroom on this gavel what you did to President Trump? And then
this gavel's way too small.
Or big, depending on the way she.
Yeah,
give me a smaller.
Where's the band? Where's the band for this courtroom?
Right. It's just you so know? She was. They kept objecting, and I think
Every time the defense objects, they're like, "Get the fuck out of here!" Overruled.
Can she put her tit back in? Objection: the tit doesn't need to be out.
Overruled. Nerd.
The question was: did you receive payments from the tit? Didn't need to come out to answer that question.
Overruled again.
Stormy's like, my notes are written on my nipples.
Yeah, I love it. It's great.
Yeah. So some of the things that she described to the jury, which if you've heard any of her interviews with Jimmy Kimmel or anybody else, she's said these things before. In fact, one interview she did with Jimmy Kimmel actually brought out a little carrot. And asked her, like, tried to get her to describe, you can't really do much with a carrot, but what Trump's penis looked like, which is what you do in these cases to try and prove the sex happened or an assault in assault cases is describe the person's genitals. There's a Jeffrey Epstein video during a deposition where they're asking about if his penis is egg-shaped.
Wow.
Which some of the victims described. And then it turns out that an egg-shaped penis, this is a little aside, is caused sometimes by someone using a penis pump too much. Jeffrey Epstein just pumping that thing like a basketball.
Yeah.
Over there on Jeffrey Epstein Island. Back to Trump's penis, though.
You know, he had that. He had a room like a looked like a Greek temple almost, right?
Epstein, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they blew it up before they got to check it out, right? He had it demolished. You know what he said it was? It was just my music room.
Yeah. It's just my music and rape room.
Just a music room. A bunch of blood was probably in. I mean, it probably was one of those rooms where you chain a victim up against the wall,
yeah,
open up their veins, and all their blood goes down all these little culverts. And
you don't want to be the blacklight guy at Epstein's house.
Oh, my.
The things goodness. You see will scar you forever. Of the many things that we heard from Stormy, and what I would like to do when the transcript comes out, because they are releasing the transcripts, but they do them in a way where you can't search them because they don't want people – they want to make it almost impossible to actually read them because it shows how there's no actual crime there. I talked about that a couple weeks ago. But I think it's worth going through it because you have to go through it page by page to maybe next week we can do like a live reading of what Stormy actually said.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think
we
that
can
would
do
be fun.
Reenactments.
We're actors, so we love to do that. You
maybe
know?
We can – maybe Stormy can call in. We probably know somebody who knows Stormy.
I mean, I know. I mean, only who I met through you, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Stormy, the thing is, we probably could convince Stormy to come on the show.
I think Reginald might know Stormy.
Reginald.
You know, Reginald's Muslim now.
Oh. He converted.
Yeah, he converted.
Good for Reginald.
He's gay and Muslim.
That is good for Reginald. I hope his prison wallet surgery went well for him.
Mm.
Some of the things she told this jury was she described spanking President Trump with a magazine, allegedly. Trump denies all of this. Mm-hmm. Spanking him with a magazine in the hotel room prior to having sex with him on a hotel bed. Specifically, she said her boobs were out, her clothes weren't all the way off, and they did it missionary position what she went there. So a little boring, I guess.
Well, was it passionate, though?
I don't know. Well,
you could be passionate missionary.
So we do get to that because they made sure to ask those right questions.
Okay, all right.
She emphasized to the court that Trump didn't wear a condom. She made sure the jury knew
he
that.
He didn't?
Yeah.
Did you hear me?
We did it missionary style. Condom. My boobs were out. My skirt was on. Trump didn't wear a condom. And that was when an objection came, and everybody in the
overruled,
room.
Overruled, nerd.
Tell us more.
There was more.
No need for that detail in there.
That's hilarious.
That she threw in. And at one point, this is great, she showed a little bit of leg to the room. She was wearing a very tight shirt, according to those who were there. Hmm. And she acted out how she says Trump was laying on the bed when she came out of the bathroom. She said he was in his underwear and that he was laying with his legs open. Mm-hmm. And that he was leaned back waiting on the bench. She's performing this on the jury stand, apparently. She leaned
back.
He's
watching the whole
thing.
And
he's just, you know, just hard as a rock, just watching. She leant back. I mean, the table flipped over. He was so.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone was getting boners.
Right. Even the women were getting boners. She leant back in leaned back in the witness stand, kicked her leg up, and she was wearing like a dress skirt. And it showed her leg. And apparently in her thigh to the jury in the room as she put her hands behind her head as though she were Donald Trump waiting for a blowjob with his legs in the air. This is what she was doing. Can you imagine you're a juror?
Just looking down, just.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. You know she's not wearing any underwear. She's probably never worn underwear.
Yeah, it's not going to take care of itself, Stormy.
And you know that crazy bitch. Yeah, Stormy, nobody wants to see that roast beef, Stormy. Close it.
Come on.
Shop's closed. Five for five is over. Imagine being like on that jury. You know there's got to be at least one person who is like, I don't want to say, what's it called when the guys, they hate women and...
Misogynist?
No, incel.
Oh.
Can you imagine there being like an incel on that jury this person's positioned like in the right place to just like get like a perfect glimpse of Stormy's vagina?
There's gonna be a porn out about the Trump trials.
Like we should search right now. You should search right now.
Like
your
right
computer.
Now?
Yeah, now get on your computer and start looking for some porn. you know it exists. You know there's tons of that
Trump.
Stuff. And Stormy's probably in half of them.
Is, yeah.
Stormy is probably in parodies of the Stormy Trump porn.
Trump trial porn.
God, dude.
Nobody
turns around
a
parody.
That just comes up with real stories now.
I have to
it's
say,
all
though.
Flooded with
right,
her,
it's flooded
with her being a porn
it's,
star.
It's wet with
I
stories.
I would have to go to an actual porn site.
No production company turns around a parody movie like a porn production company. I won't tell you that, though. So they ended the... Oh, wait. Yeah, so yeah, they ended the little interaction here. This is just part of what they've told us. With the prosecutor, this is completely irrelevant information, saying about the missionary style sex.
Okay.
Stormy, like, you're a lawyer. You're a serious person, apparently. This is not illegal, even if it's true. It's not illegal. This whole testimony is irrelevant because none of it's illegal. Stormy, was it brief? Yes. Yes.
Objection.
He came too quickly.
Wow.
So that's what we learned today. Stormy showed her pussy to the jury, and Trump came too quickly, according to her. This is the test. This is the first criminal trial ever of a former president, and this is. What's happening is
detached. What does that have to do with...
Nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Freaking world.
Nothing.
And the fact that we can't watch it is... It's even worse.
I mean, we have to watch the parody, as you said.
Yeah, we're going to have to watch the parody. I mean, there's going to be a... Someone's going to make this for Hulu or something.
Yeah. I mean, I played the clips of Stormy getting interviewed by Max Blumenthal years ago. She has done this type of shit over and over again. Yeah. Maybe they banged. I don't know. But her exploiting rich people about infidelity and stuff. I mean, this is her go-to. And even some of the things, like, she's changed her story over the years. At one point, she said it didn't happen.
Well, she owes Trump money for lying about him.
She owes him hundreds of thousands of dollars, which she said she was not going to pay him. And at one point during the testimony today, the defense asked her, do you hate Donald Trump? And she said yes. And at one point she said she would dance if he were put in prison. Even CNN said that her testimony today destroyed her credibility, which I'm like, credibility?
Yeah, I know. I heard that. And then it's like, well, I guess it's up to Michael Cohen now.
Absolutely. And so this is
who they're going to go for. I mean, give me a fucking break.
Well, my theory on this, I talked about it last night on the show, is that this is the warm up. This is the practice trial that everyone, even from the beginning, even MSNBC and CNN said that there's not really a crime there. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they'll get a conviction if they're – I kind of doubt it, because from what they described, even the jury – so Stormy was apparently making a bunch of sexual jokes. And if you've ever listened to her talk, she does nothing but try and make sexual jokes about like her tits and having sex with whoever she's talking to. I mean, she can't help but just walking around – just like winking and making people think she's going to bet. I'm sure she was doing that to the jury. And she said that the jury was not laughing at all, that they felt incredibly uncomfortable by it. I don't know that that's true, but I can't imagine they'd find her to be a credible witness at all. So I think that this case might – they even tried to get it dismissed and thrown out today. They didn't do that. They wouldn't allow that. But I think this case might be coming to a close pretty soon. I think it was a practice for when the real criminal trial that will happen – I'm going to commit to this – that will happen before the election. That is the Fulton County January 6th trial. That's why I think they had Nathan Wade come out and speak again yesterday with the help of the Illuminati, Black Illuminati handler. They didn't let Nathan Wade come out and speak to somebody like me or somebody who might ask him questions or somebody who might point out all of the actual relevant things about him and his Fannie Willis relationship. They brought him out on CBS News, and he was handled by somebody who is a sorority member of Kamala Harris's and Fannie Willis, the Divine Nine Sororities, Black Illuminati. They call themselves that. Former members of it do. They call themselves the Freemasons as well. She handled the interview. It was a softball interview, and it was controlled, and it was done for a reason. And I believe that reason is they know this case is coming to a close, the practice, and so they're about to start to relaunch the focus back over to Fulton County in January 6th because we've had a break, and now I think it's coming back here. And,
well, they and have to depend.
We're going to see a trial.
They have to depend on that now because they've indefinitely postponed the classified documents.
That's exactly right. Yeah, they said that today.
And so this is it. It's all about the Fulton County, and it's been kind of out of the picture for a while.
Right. They switched it around, the little Rolodex, but now we're going to have two of the cases eliminated with that one that you mentioned, the classified documents. Mm-hmm. And we had a comment here. What about Jack Smith tampering with and planting evidence in Mar-a-Lago?
I don't know anything about that.
All right, so are you talking 5280? You're talking about the classified documents, right? There was something related to that that's – many people believe is one of the reasons why it's actually getting delayed is that there's a little bit of evidence tampering going on. So those cases are pretty much going to be gone. The other one is going to be the federal January 6th case, which is going nowhere. The grand finale and the most entertaining outcome is the Fulton County trial, which is the only one between that and the federal case that can be televised. So I think we might get that. I kind of hope we do. It'll be OJ times 10. If they don't do that, if all of that just fizzles out. Look, I don't want anybody. I know this is a weaponization of the judicial system. It's terrible. And you know, I don't know what Trump's role is, whether he's knowing or unknowing. I don't know, but just the stuff that's happening to him can then set precedent and can happen to any of us. And what they're actually criminalizing in Fulton County is they're criminalizing the questioning of your of the government, is having a different opinion of the government is what that really boils down to. So that's actually pretty scary. But I just can't see them building all of this up and having it fizzle out when it's such a grand, I think, PR intimidation stunt for the public, as well as to maybe get Trump out of the way. So we'll see what happens. We'll see.
Yeah, well, is the Fulton County, that's another state-level prosecution, right?
Yeah, that's state-level. So the state-level cases can, they can be
and
televised.
Kemp would never, I don't think he would ever pardon Trump.
Absolutely. No, Kemp is on Fannie Willis's side here.
Yeah.
Kemp hates Kemp ever since his daughter's boyfriend was killed in that strange accident in 2021, completely flipped and has been anti anybody who questions the 2020 election. So I think Georgia's where it's at, and that also Fulton County, entire DA's office, because I've been looking these up one by one. I talked about this last night, filled with nothing but Fannie Willis hires, all members of the Divine Nine. Black Freemasons.
You know, I tell you,
it's really crazy.
It feels like Atlanta, and Georgia and Atlanta have really dominated the entertainment and political news for the last decade.
Yeah, it's become that purple swing state with Stacey Abrams.
It's interesting how it's
also
become a
black
much higher profile place than I ever remember being growing up.
And, you know, you drive downtown in Castleberry area, and there's a giant building there. With Stacey Abrams' face on it. This is Stacey Abrams' country in downtown Atlanta. Outside of that, it's different.
Imagine if, like, a giant Godzilla size Stacey Abrams started walking through Atlanta.
So Stacey Abrams.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean.
Imagine if Stacey Abrams started
Stacey
walking
Abrams
through.
Started walking through.
Yeah.
Voting is medicine.
No, you know, it's just Stacey Abrams. I imagine that Stacey Abrams and Fannie Willis just have a good old time having like sumo wrestling matches to, you know, burn some energy as they think about how we're going to force DEI down people's throats. And we're going to tell anybody who questions it that it's a threat to democracy.
If I had a date with Fannie, but the only way she'd go out with me is if I went out with her and got her a date for her friend Stacey, would you be my wingman?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Cool,
yeah.
Man.
Just for the experience. Now we might both get tied up and like violently raped, but
yeah.
And there'd be no getting away. It's like when you confront a bear. What if to say if it's brown, go down and just hope it doesn't kill you. If it's black, fight back, because you can't run faster than Stacey Abrams and Fannie Willis, and you can't climb trees higher than that.
I expect Fannie to pay for everything if I go on a date with her, though. She makes way more money than I do.
I'm drinking all the Grey Goose in her purse.
All of it. I'm ordering everything. So can I get dessert? We haven't even ordered an appetizer yet. I know. I'm just checking.
So look at these pictures here. I love the... The courtroom sketches. They're always, I feel like, are the courtroom sketch artists like the worst artists?
Yeah, it's the worst artists in class, and that's how you get hired.
I mean, I feel like I could draw some of these sketches.
We should. We should draw our, look at that. That looks like a kid with a crayon.
Let's get it back to one there. All right, so there we go.
These are all hanging on fridges, on a parents' fridges right now.
Yeah, it's like a retarded child drawing these. And so the way they describe Stormy in the articles is they describe her as wearing a tight black shirt with a kind of skirt on, very sexual and attractive. And one of the articles called her like a high school boy's dream with her teacher glasses hanging on her nose. And then I look at this sketch rendition of it, and I'm like, that's no high schooler's dream right there. What is this?
Yeah, and what is this her and Donald Trump in a photo or something? Is that what that's...
They have a photo of so there's a picture, and that was in evidence, and it's
okay
already available on the internet. It's been available for a long time, but when they met at a golf tournament, she was there promoting a porn company. A bunch of porn stars were there, and she went and either... She says Trump went over to her. It sounds like it might have been the porn stars who wanted to get their picture taken with Trump, the way it's described, but he took his picture with her on the golf course. And that's the evidence they're showing. And I guess she's describing the size of what his penis would have needed to be. I don't know. And there's the judge right there.
Yeah, he's...
Well, you know what's funny to me? So the judge here looks like the best looking person. So he must have told that sketch artist, you make me better looking than every single other person.
Everyone.
Because he's got like a chiseled chin. And this woman here, very... This woman looks like she could whip some ass, this lawyer.
Well, she looks like she could. Someone needs to brush off the back of her coat. It got dirty. And then on the wall, what is all the purple paint splashed on the wall? But who put graffiti?
Just I saw the jizz from the just exploding out of people.
Jizzed all over the courtroom. They got a little on Trump's cheek right here.
Yeah, he got a little jizz on there. It's sticky in there. And this photo of Trump, it looks like a completely different person.
Yeah, it doesn't look like Trump. It looks like Hulk Hogan, kind of like Hulk Hogan-esque.
What are one of those bell caps you wear? Those like red hats that you wear in the 50s?
It looks kind of like Joe Biden and Hulk Hogan mixed together.
And Stormy Daniels, yeah, right.
And that looks like Farrah Fawcett.
That's not Stormy Daniels.
That looks like Stormy. That looks like Farrah Fawcett.
The stupidest person in the room is the court sketch room artist.
Yeah.
All right, now there's just Stormy showing her tits. Now there's Stormy again, which looks like a completely different Stormy Daniels. I wonder if this is the same artist.
Oh, my God.
Or a different one.
Yeah, this looks like, in the 90s, there was that, on Comedy Central, there was that animated show, gosh, this looks like that kind of art. I can't remember what it was called. He was like the counselor or something like that. Remember what I'm talking about?
No.
Anyways, it was funny. Dr. Katz. Dr. Katz.
Yeah, yeah,
this
yeah.
This looks
no,
like
I Dr. Katz. Talking about.
Yeah.
Nate says New York is full of us simple jacks. Of course they can get one, referring to how Trump was found liable in the case against E. Jean Carroll. Now, the burden of proof in that case against E. Jean Carroll, which is the most bogus case you're ever going to hear in your life if you read the details and you learn about E. Jean Carroll, whose cat's name is Pussy.
Vagina. Vagina.
Vagina.
She's weird.
She's very, very weird. It was a civil case, and the burden of proof is a preponderance of evidence, and the jury instructions that was given by the judge set this broad range of... You can find Trump liable of assault. Like people say sexual assault and rape. He was not found liable of that. He was found liable of, I think it was either battery or, I think it was battery. Mm-hmm. But the broad range was battery could be someone pokes you on the arm or the chin, or someone tries to grab your tits. So it was like sexual assault or somebody bumping into you, which gave them the ability to say that, which was probably him knowing that there was no rape involved. So they could get some sort of liability. So the burden of proof is higher, but you're right. If the jury's convinced, then there. Look at, okay, so here's a photo.
All right, that is an artist.
That's interesting.
Like, I got to get at least one big boobie in there.
What did she get a breast reduction? Because we on this image here, the judge looks completely different. The judge looks 15 years older in this image.
Yeah, the judge it looks like he's... He's trying to get a glimpse maybe down her blouse.
It looks like he's trying to have sex with her with his eyes. The jizz stains have been removed from the courtroom. This must have been after a recess.
Yeah, they cleaned him up with the flags.
And right. And then there's I don't know if that's a monitor or, I mean, it looks like a picture of, the same picture of Trump at the golf course.
Yeah, but this one's
on
an iPad that's floating. That's just floating.
It's a floating iPad.
Floating iPad.
Let's look at that other one again.
Yeah. So that's on a
wearing a yellow
easel.
Shirt and a red
right,
hat.
That's on an easel. This is floating in a cloudy mist.
And yes. Look, so that's really interesting. So look how different the color of yellow and his gray eyebrows in this one and the judge.
Do you think they compare these afterwards with each other?
There must be like an intense rivalry between these courtroom sketch artists.
Do you think they elbow each other and try to screw each other's
dogs? I think they sketch each other in unattractive ways. I think that's how they fight. They sketch each other with fat asses and, like, you know, boils on their neck.
What do you think they get paid?
$6 an hour.
$6 an hour. Yeah.
I mean, with the kind of work they're doing, right?
No, like any artist, they're going to say, they're going to tell you, listen, we'll give you exposure. There's no pay, but there's plenty of exposure. Bitch, I don't need exposure. I need exposure to a paycheck.
That's what they're like, all right, well, here's how this. So I think this sketch artist is a guy because I think he drew, you know, double F tits on
oh, yeah.
Stormy here, because even Stormy in real life, which is, I guess, the one behind her.
And this must have been when Trump was, he was working at a McDonald's. So
yeah, right. He does look like he's like a brand ambassador.
Yeah, he's a brand ambassador. So this was an event. This was a McDonald's.
How
event.
Do you draw two? It's like two different people drew this. How do you draw Stormy Daniels in these two images with completely different faces in the same drawing?
Because
I don't understand.
You want to show that she's younger here. And this is 15 years ago, right?
Did she get her I guess she got surgery to have her lips pulled up. It looks like there.
Yeah,
so well. Over here. Now here Stormy's has turned into a Karen teacher.
The boobies get bigger and bigger in these.
Oh my God, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, but this guy's got his, this dude in the corner here, he's got his face buried in those boobies right there.
And that guy's masturbating.
Yeah.
Definitely. And this is actually, this lawyer appears to be a male with long hair. I thought it was a female earlier.
Well, it's probably.
She said she was ashamed of her affair. And there she is with her blue eyes and her droopy skin in this drawing, saying Trump was not wearing a condom. And there's just a picture of Trump. And there's Stormy leaving, about to go have sex with that black man.
Wow.
Stormy Daniels, just everybody's a grifter. It's just, you know this when you watch the news and you see all these figures, but sometimes you're like, maybe this person isn't. But
how come I never got an opportunity? I'm willing at this point to just sell out and become a grifter.
I know. It's like,
and you know, I got to make a little cash. There's not much time left in the grand scheme of things. Where do I find a good grifting opportunity?
I mean, TikTok, YouTube, all it takes from what I can tell is a willingness to have no integrity.
Yeah, I'll just become. You ever watch David Pakman?
Yeah.
Oh,
I've seen
God.
Him before.
He infuriates me. He's so annoying. But maybe I'll just adopt that point of view and see how much money I can make.
The thing is, dude, that's probably what a lot of these people have done.
I know.
Is they've just recognized that they can be.
That's what I think of guys like Crowder. I'm not a huge fan of Crowder.
I've never thought Crowder was funny.
You know, because I'm just like, yeah, not only are you not funny, but like how, I don't know how like genuine this whole thing is.
Always thought he was full of shit.
You just seem real fucking angry, dude.
And do you know anything about the spat he's been having with? First of all, his ex-wife, and then not gay
bit.
Jared.
I've heard a little bit. I just don't care.
I'm against all of them. I don't care about any of them. Their little fight to me, like,
it's
not
a way. It's a way to make money.
It's a grift for both of them.
Yeah,
and of course he was
addicted
to his wife.
Let's you and I
we should.
Fight.
I mean, we should do what Crowder and not gay Jared did. Well, maybe not go where they went, because what it looks like to me.
You want
to
have sex?
Exactly. It looks like to me, like, not gay Jared and Crowder were having sex, they're still fighting. They're bickering like two ex-lovers who are angry is what it looks like to me.
Well, maybe we don't have, because we're in different rooms. Maybe if we started sharing the same space, that might happen to us.
I'd like to keep it virtual for now if we could. All right. Let's not go full Stormy Daniels here. Some quack says maybe they're saving it for OnlyFans. You know, maybe we will see the video of this trial on OnlyFans. That would be great. Somebody secretly filmed it and released it on OnlyFans. So this was in the coverage of this. I just thought this was funny. Here's the headline from Mediaite, and they have a clip of CNN talking about what's going on in the courtroom. And the headline says, "Hitting her on the arm." CNN's Paula Reed says Trump got physical with lawyer in court as Stormy Daniels testified.
Physical.
When I first saw that, what went into my head was like
bloodbath.
Bloodbath. Or like Trump was in, like they say Trump was in the car. He dove ahead of all the Secret Service people. That made up story. I pictured him
ketchup against the wall.
Right, like him just shoving a lawyer or something. Come to find out. And I'm picturing an opposition lawyer, but I'll let you see what they're actually talking about.
during this lunch break, I would pick the prosecution team because I can only imagine we've seen, based on our reporters in the court, how upset Donald Trump seems to be and urging his attorneys to be interjecting more, to object more. I've little doubt he is giving them an earful right now about what he wants to see moving forward.
Yeah, he's been really scrutinizing his defense lawyers. I saw it yesterday with Todd Blanche's cross of an accounting official from the Trump Organization. Trump twisted his entire body and was watching everything Todd said.
I mean, notice how she makes that sound like that's like
twisted his entire body.
You know what that is? When someone's talking, you look.
No, he twisted his entire body.
It's actually good etiquette to focus
from his
your
head
body
to his tippy toes.
Right. And they frame that as though that is a sign that he is about to get aggressive with somebody. And now his lawyers are also victim to him. I mean, this is the way they stretch to make anything into some sort of crime. It's wild. It's creatively impressive sometimes.
He twisted his entire
body. Like, he spun it around a few times like a weird villain in a cartoon.
No, I think what it is, man, they're just doing that. They're giving people their dopamine hits with the right words, you know?
Do you think that there are people who hate Trump sitting around going, can you believe Trump twisted his body around?
I mean, of course he twisted his body. He can't just turn it like a normal person.
He could very well have killed his own defense lawyer after that.
Yeah, I have a buddy who every time we talk about him, he goes, well, the big difference, Ian, is that he's a psychopathic liar. And then I,
right.
I said to him, well, why did he give up power when he had a pandemic that he was president during? Wouldn't that have been the perfect time to hold on to power and never let go? And my friend said, well, he thought he could get reelected.
January 6th.
Yeah, he said, well, he thought he would easily get reelected. So wait a minute. A dictator's like, you know what? I was going to do the
dictator
thing.
He's a dictator playing the long game, Ian.
But I'm pretty sure I'll easily get elected. So why take a risk? Take a risk?
Nate says, you know who else twisted? Hitler.
Oh, shit.
He twisted. So if he doesn't twist around, I would just love
Mussolini twisted with his pasta. He's twist up those noodles.
Can you imagine some poor, like, new anchor? Because if that were, like, a regular conversation between just any group of people and someone describes something that way, almost 99 times out of 100, someone would go, what do you mean by he twisted? Like, what is it? What do you mean?
Twisted. You know, twisted his body.
Like, that's weird. It's a weird way to say, can you show me what you mean? But if somebody were to say that there who didn't know any better, they'd be fired. They all just act like, yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't twist his body around, if he just sits forward, then he is angry at his lawyer because he's ignoring them, or he's falling asleep and farting himself awake. So there's no, it doesn't matter.
Do we get to see him getting physical with her?
No, maybe maybe there's a drawing of it.
That's right.
I guess we'll see.
Official for the Trump Organization, Trump twisted his entire body everything Todd said,
as opposed to just like his head or his knee, his entire body. So he turned around to the right. He just that's what this bitch is describing.
Today he's gotten a little physical with Susan Nicholas, one of his lawyers, sort of hitting her on the arm, prompting her to object. He's had these spirited conversations with all three of them.
Listen to that shit again. This is his lawyer who he's paying lots of money to defend him, and that is what you do.
Yeah.
There's you tap him on the shoulder, say, hey, yeah, no, that's, you need to say something. And they're acting like he was about to grab his own lawyer by the pussy.
Yeah. Why aren't you objecting?
Lay down. I'm going to fuck you like Stormy, you bitch. It's just crazy.
He gets down. He strips down to his underwear in court and twists his entire body.
Like a demonic twist.
Lawyers sort of hitting her on the arm, prompting her to object. He's had these spirited conversations with all three of them. He clearly has a lot of ideas about exactly how this defense should be carried out.
She's so pretty.
At this point,
too,
it's unclear who will cross Stormy Daniels, but you know, whoever does it, they're getting an earful from their client right now.
But that is not uncommon. These are normal things that they're trying to present as out of the ordinary and something only a tyrant would do. It's crazy.
Wow.
Do you think that she is just... So this girl is very pretty who's saying that.
Oh,
do you think that she actually is buying into what she's saying, or do you think that she is just the worst pathological liar that you should
know?
No,
I think, listen, I was, the more I watched these shows, you know, the, what's his name? Mia Farrow's kid, Roman Farrow. I was watching
Frank
him.
Sinatra's kid.
Yeah. I was watching him on one of these shows, and it really struck me because, you know, he comes from a family, you know, an acting family, and it really struck me how scripted it is. But it's not. Mm-hmm. It's scripted in the way that reality TV is scripted. And for people who don't. Yeah. Really, no. I mean, everyone is suspicious of it, but no, it's absolutely the storylines are massaged out. They know what's going to happen. Listen, guys, I know I'm blowing everyone's mind. Okay, just relax.
Well, you said wrestling's not real either, right? Get bullshit, dude.
Brad, we'll save that for the next show. Okay, I don't want to dump too much truth on you.
Don't change my
and they're doing, we all know it, but it's just becoming more and more obvious because they're not as good as the previous generation was.
No. And this is what I do for a living. I know that these are not journalists. I know that these are people playing journalists who are propagandists, whose job is to tell a story that they're directed to tell.
I think they believe in winning for their side.
Yes, I agree with that. I mean, those clips we played of the Correspondence Dinner, I think is evident of that. But I even have to remind myself, don't look at these people who are reporting news or being journalists, because it's not that they're bad journalists. It's that they're good script readers, and some of them are good propagandists.
They're performers. They
are that's
just
exactly what they are.
Performing the narrative.
Yes, that's exactly what they are. And I think that probably most of them don't give a shit about the left or right at these higher levels. I think the people they influence do. I think that they will read whatever is in front of them. And if one day they're supposed to be huge progressives, they're huge progressives. And if the next day their boss says, all right, we're switching things today, new direction, you guys are all racist white nationalist Christians now, I think they would happily become that the next day.
I guarantee you this young lady here took a couple of improv classes and some acting classes. Guarantee.
Oh, absolutely, dude. Yeah. Cody, do you know who Cody Rhodes is, Ian? Cody Rhodes is the toughest man on earth. Changed my mind, says Nate G.
Why do I know that?
Cody
name?
Rhodes. Look that up real quick. Cody Rhodes is the purplish, pink-haired, very flamboyant, looks like a professional wrestler.
Oh.
I mean, there's no doubt those professional wrestlers are tough guys, but...
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
I saw a video of, I guess it was some amateur professional wrestling the other day on Twitter, and it was a woman, you know, she was a... A thick gal and muscular, and the guy who was wrestling her was literally grabbing her by the vagina, and then he started doing like he was sexually assault. His move was pin her to the back of the ring, sexually assault her, and then pick her up and throw her on the mat and pin her. and she was playing the role too. It was like, wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, no, it's definitely physical. I mean, these guys, there's a great clip of Roddy Piper on Politically Incorrect.
Yeah, he's great.
He just serves Bill Maher. He just destroys him as they put each other down.
I love Roddy Piper.
Oh, my
dude.
God. It's great. But Bill Maher says something to them about, you know, oh, it's fake. Come on, that's not real. And he starts showing them. Everyone starts showing their bruises and scars.
I mean, the athleticism and shit is definitely real. You know, that's you got to be in shape and strong to do all that shit.
I haven't watched it in decades. You know, I mean, my generation. It was when, you know, NWO that was was, when it was around the time that I stopped. Right.
Yeah.
It's not that I have anything against it. I just stop watching it.
I don't even really watch much TV anymore at all.
I don't watch any TV.
I mean, they can't get any more outrageous than the stuff we're looking at right now. We have about 30 more seconds of this thing. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, he says he appreciates the love. Look, we have a friend who streams professional wrestling.
I've actually started. We should actually bring it up on the show sometimes.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
It's fun, yeah. I'd like to go see the more local level stuff. I think I could get me back into it.
I get kicked out of the chats every time he invites me to it.
Take away the picture that our team in the room and you guys have been talking about of the necklace lawyer being basically prompted to object. I think she was reading something at the time. Stormy Daniels is so different than anybody else we've seen up to this point, right? You had David Pecker, who I think they were still very friendly to some degree. You had people that were in the Trump organization, and even you had Hope Hicks, who was a former advisor, and clearly there's still some kindness there or appreciation for one another. This is a different witness than we've seen up to this point. If you want to have any sense of how Trump is going to feel when Michael Cohen eventually gets on the stand, you're getting a little bit of it here, but we just haven't seen him confronted by somebody like this, particularly with these personal stories at that level of detail. How he responds after the trial may be just as interesting as how he responds during.
So that guy, I can't tell if that guy is nervous because he's around Anderson Cooper or because he's around that little hot blonde next to him. It's one of the two.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't know. He's definitely just filling.
And like, he's got a really small face.
Yeah.
It's like
these guys are... Most of the guys that I see, when you see these guys in real life, they're kind of very svelte men. They're very, very thin guys.
None of them have calluses on their hands.
Yeah, they're very, very well pedicured.
Yeah, and they like caviar.
Well, I don't know about pedicures. I don't look at these guys' feet.
And they all suck.
But they're
manicured.
After
dinner. I mean, they have a suck-off room for men only at CNN, from what I understand. So you talked about the judge postponing it. Trump was shifting directions a little bit.
You mean twisting?
Trump was twisting at a rally a campaign fundraiser this past Saturday in Palm Beach. And he had narrow shoulders, says Forrest Mommy. And the Washington Post has been reporting the past few days that they have this secret audio of all these things Trump said. And they haven't released it. They just say that they have it. So I guess somebody infiltrated. But all the things that they say Trump said, it's the same as this. The first story a couple days ago.
My camera keeps.
Oh, you're good. You're just frozen with your mouth open. Okay. No, you're good. Yeah, there you go. So all of the stories they originally reported were, we have this audio of Trump where Trump was at this fundraiser saying that Jack Smith is corrupt. So saying all these things that are true and that are not out of characteristic for him, as though they had captured him raping somebody on audio. It's an improv exercise where you take a subject and it could be nothing, could be cotton candy, and you treat it as though it's the most violent thing that ever happened. And simply by the tone and attitude that you present it with, people go, oh my God, cotton candy's raping everyone. And that is what all of the coverage is of all of these things. They will spin nothing into rape. And Trump, during this, the audio they had of Trump, I thought this was funny because they said Trump was roasting this guy named, you guys know who Senator John Tester is? I don't know if he's a Republican or not, but it says that he mocked Tester during this fundraiser at Palm Beach, comparing John Tester's appearance to that of a pregnant woman, according to recording of the event obtained by the Washington Post. Whenever a network says something like that, it's just like, go fuck yourself. And this was the Washington Post writing this. Why aren't you just playing it for us? Why is it not available? Because that's a funny bit that I would like to hear from Trump. Maybe it's too funny. They don't want us to hear it. It says they're quoting Trump. He's now in a tough campaign and he could very well lose. We ought to go up and campaign against him, Trump said of Tester at the event. In fact, I looked at him and I said, oh, this finally works for a man or a woman because he looks pregnant to me. I would love to hear Trump's telling of that. As the crowd laughed, Trump continued, miming with his hands as he went on. Have you seen this guy? He doesn't look like a fat guy, except his stomach is out to here. The former president said, not that I talk about things like that. I don't even notice things like that. I wouldn't notice things like that. The Trump campaign senior advisor, Chris LaCivita, said in a statement that there was not much interesting about Trump comparing Tester to a pregnant woman. As this person said, well, according to the left, men can in fact get pregnant, so where's the controversy? I think they're not releasing that audio because it's too funny. That's my opinion. Ian, if you can still hear me, your mic's muted.
I can hear you.
Oh, you're good.
This thing
back.
Just keeps freezing up. I don't know why. It seems like after 45 minutes,
you're gonna, like, the more you do this, the more you learn all the technical glitches and shit. The number of frozen faces that I've had on screen, and you've seen some of them. You're good.
I just hope it catches me doing something
absolutely
crazy like that,
like a tubing thing.
Yeah.
You can hop out of the StreamYard thing and come back in if that
helps.
That's
what I think I might try to do.
Yeah, go ahead and hop out and come back in. You'll be good. Usually fixes it.
All right.
All right, so now that Ian's gone, I'm kidding. All right, so New York Mayor, actually, I want to wait on Ian for that because I want to get his opinion about that. Let's go to, we have a Jeffrey Toobin story. We have, Forrest Mommy, if you're still listening, by the way, happy birthday. Isn't your birthday coming up? It's not today, is it? Is it tomorrow? Maybe you're not still listening. Nate G says DEI artist in the courtroom. You know, I thought about that a little bit. But I thought they would have made Stormy more attractive. Like, I was really hoping that there would be a drawing that made Stormy look like she was 25 years old again and made Trump just look like a character on Adult Swim. The meat character that has eyes. I just want to see the full DEI. But speaking of DEI, there was an interesting story that I came across. MIT, they became the first university, or they say elite university in this article, to ban diversity statements. The Massachusetts Institute of Technology, they ended the use of diversity statements for faculty hiring, making them the first elite private university to backtrack on the practice that has been the subject of a lot of conversation and criticism. On Saturday, and MIT, it's interesting they did this on Saturday, maybe sweep it under the rug, an MIT spokesperson confirmed in an email that requests for a statement on diversity will no longer be part of applications for any faculty positions at MIT. So I guess people were applying at MIT and actually explains it here. Yeah, they had to answer questions about, they had to make a statement about their beliefs on DEI. Of course they have to change that. Who wants to do that? I mean, even if the only people that want to do that are Stacey Abrams. That's the only person who's enthusiastic about that. It says that Department of Nuclear Science, oh, there's Ian, sorry, I'm putting him back.
Hey!
There you go.
Seems to be working again.
We're talking about how MIT got rid of their requirements for a DEI statement.
Then how are we going to get any good engineering done?
No, you're not. No, you're not. It's terrible.
We need more lesbians and trans people and minority. We need less white brains.
Right. Brad. Now, I'm going to peel my face off and wear it inside out because I hate my white face.
Good, because you can never escape it.
At least I used to
go out on auditions as ethnically ambiguous. Do you know how many Russian?
Did you really?
Yeah. I showed up to a Hispanic Cartoon Network one, and
all
my Puerto Rican actor friends were like, "What the fuck are you doing here?"
I brought some tequila.
I guess I look a little Cubano.
My sombrero. Where's my horse, S.A.?
I used to go to every audition in blackface, usually, because I was tired of auditioning for rednecks that had to say the N-word in auditions, which I had to do a number of times.
How many angry white men? How many times I had to scream the N-word at an audition, dude?
I've had to do that.
Dude. Yeah.
I look like a redneck.
White guy after white guy going into a room, closing the door, screaming the N-word, and then leaving going, "Good luck, man."
No, I've done that, dude. And, like, you know, it's frustrating because I got callbacks for it, too. So it wasn't like they just said, "You look somebody."
I stopped doing it. There's no way in hell I'm going to allow my head to be 10 feet high screaming that word
in a theater
full of people.
You get these sides. You're like, "Hey, we have an audition for you to play Klan member number 3, and you look at the sides, and it's like, "Oh, I'm just shouting the hard R at a black teenager the whole scene."
Yeah.
Right. No. And so then you go in there, and it's like, after you do your audition, you not only look like somebody who shouts the hard R, but you're good at it, so we'd like you to come back and do it again.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, come on. I know that the black casting directors, come on, they've got to be looking
at
this going.
Might be funny for them, yeah.
Maybe it's got to be funny for them. Come on.
But that video still exists somewhere. Somebody could just take that, you know, fill in the background, say, here's Brad shouting RR somebody.
Oh, I auditioned for a period piece where I was a slave master. So I had to really, really put it on. Yeah. And that was the last one. I was like, no, I'm not doing this anymore, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, it's either that or I would audition for crackheads, one of the two. Yeah. But these statements that they got rid of, which MIT getting rid of them is interesting because they were one of the schools that led the way with it, but they are a private school. It says the Department of Nuclear Science and Engineering sought an assistant professor, this is what they used to do, in fields from fundamental nuclear science to practice applications of nuclear technology and energy security and quantum engineering. That's a very, you know, highly skilled, smart person there they're requesting. And then it said applicants were then required to submit a statement regarding their views on diversity, inclusion, and belonging, including past and current contributions as well as their vision and plans in the future in these areas. So you not only have to be a quantum nuclear technology engineer, you have to have a vision of the DEI future.
Oh, yeah. You got to have a vision of the DEI future. You have to understand there is only one way forward, and that is through forcing you to comply. You know what I noticed? The left right now has a real problem with rejecting any kind of organic solution. They do not believe in organic solutions to problems whatsoever. Everything has to be manipulated.
Everything's a penis inversion surgery.
You're a little chess piece, and we move this person here and that person here, and they do what we say.
No, and that is what it's about. It's about control. When they have these standards that are, they always move the goalposts or they make them vague enough to where they're never actually, the equality and equity and all that, nobody even really understands what that means, can never be satisfied because that's the purpose of it, because the existence of that is what enables them to gain power through identity politics, because they can always call somebody racist.
Yeah, I mean, I know that people think it's paranoid to when you say, oh, this is Marxist, this is that. Listen.
It's exactly what the Marxists did.
It is exactly what they did. You might be right. We might be splitting hairs, whatever. People might be right when they say, well, they're not Marxists. You're right, okay? But they are using Marxist strategies. That's absolutely what they're fucking doing.
Yeah, you know? Right. No, I encourage people to read this. A book, The Bolshevik Strategy, Organizational Weapon. It was written by Rand Organization. And I think that probably, whether they're Marxist or I think other groups that want power use similar strategies because they're effective.
Yes.
But they all rely on finding people who need a North Star, who need somebody in their lives to lead them, want to be accepted, and can be controlled by these organizers, and then they control them through identity politics. I mean, identity politics it is what will destroy this country, and we have people out there promoting it. I have a clip of Stacey Abrams somewhere saying, I love identity politics. It's done me good, and it has done her good. It's gotten her where she is today, but the people she's organized, many of them, their careers were ruined. They were kicked out of school. They were put in jail, and that's what, not to go back to the protest thing, these protesters, whatever side you're on of all this shit, the goal of the organizers is the NFL combine. They're trying to show that they can cause the most controversy, the most conflict, and the most attention. And if one of their protesters are getting dragged by a cop, shot with rubber bullets and gas put in their ass, well, that's an organizer who's going to be running for office in 2016 because they did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
So people just need to, like, it's tough because they target young people, and young people are stupid. They just are.
Oh, I mean, come on. Like, the 20-year-old me, you know, if I had a time machine, I would go back and beat the shit out of my 20-year-old self.
We're just idiots. And the problem is we think we're smarter and that we know more than we ever will think we know in our entire lives. Yet the reality is, because of that, we're actually the dumbest that we're ever going to be from about 18 to 25 or so, I would say.
So stupid. Absolutely.
That's why they go after it. And that's why they want to lower the voting age, continue to lower.
You know, I started waking up, in my, I want to say my late, maybe early 30s is when I really started waking up. and questioning these government different government programs that were meant to help people.
Yeah.
You know, one of the first things that where I started to get pissed off, because I had voted for Obama, you know, I thought, hell yeah, man.
Get the fuck out of here.
Fuck off. You know, so stupid. People change, they grow, they evolve. This is what I get. Anyways. So
the idea of Obama was something that was hopeful.
The idea of Obama was, yeah, you know, and, you know, you think like your community. And I grew up around a lot of actors. So the, you know,
not a gay people.
The cash for clunkers thing is what started to piss me off.
Yeah.
Because I watched all these idiots who made bad decisions get rewarded with a new car that got better gas mileage. Meanwhile, I'm driving around a Nissan Sentra.
Yeah.
A 1988 Nissan Sentra with 250,000 miles on it. So yeah, I apply for the cash for clunkers thing. They're like, nah, sorry.
You did it, dude.
Fuck you.
They said, fuck you, Whitey.
Should have bought a Lincoln Navigator, dipshit.
Yes, absolutely. Forrest Mommy, she voted for Obama, too. Forrest Mommy, did you hear me wish you happy birthday a moment ago? She said she wasn't paying attention, and the DNC was there in 2007 in Denver, and it was like rah-rah. Yeah, people just want to be a part of something. They don't know what the fuck
you
want to
be. And it was hard, but, you know, then eventually, you know, I noticed I was pissed, and I started talking to a couple friends, and then one of my friends was like, you sound like a libertarian, Ian. Have you ever heard of a libertarian? And I was like, no, what the fuck's that?
And he was like, do you love to infight with other people who have similar beliefs as you?
Yeah, right. Do you want to have like a indefinable ideology that has such a wide spectrum and is really hard to implement on practical levels?
Are you the future definition of autism on a scale?
Yeah, yes. Like I think it's like I have a lot of libertarian. I think I'm too conservative for libertarians, a little too libertarian for conservatives.
I think libertarianism is tough, like you said, for a lot of people to buy into everything.
Yeah, I'm part of the leave me the fuck alone. Don't stop bugging me so much, crowd.
Yeah, no, I totally, and I think that actually most people are probably like that. The challenge with libertarianism is the whole idea of libertarianism is based on what, like you just said, get the fuck away from me. I'm gonna do my own fucking thing. While the other two parties are based on let's organize and dominate.
Exactly. You know? And that is the main flaw with libertarians is they'll never be able to organize because they are a group of people. I don't think they'll be able to organize efficiently. I do think what they'll do is influence policy well.
Yeah,
I think they already do. You know, influence policy. You know, talk to people about how, like, I think every libertarian wants to protect nature. People have this idea that libertarians want smokestacks and coal and all this evil shit. No,
yeah, right.
I think what they want to do is do it in a more organic way. Like, if
they want to do it while open carrying.
Yeah, right. And I think every libertarian would agree that if I'm living next to a farmer, we're two farmers, and this farmer starts using some pesticide that starts ruining my crops. And I think every libertarian would agree, you got to come to an agreement.
Yeah, you kill that
guy. You kill the weaker guy, and then you take over his land.
Yeah, the non-aggression principle
demands. And then no one bitches anymore. Squeaky wheels sometimes get changed for less squeaky wheels.
Sometimes you got to kill a bitch.
Sometimes you
got
to get a new wheel. Non-aggression principle.
Yeah. So Forrest Mommy says, the party's goofy, but individual activism and coalition building is where it's at. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. I think that more reasonable. It's tough, too, because we live in this time where social media and X and all these other platforms are how many people promote themselves and promote their ideas. And some of them, especially X, is the way that you get the most attention there is like, that other libertarian's a faggot.
Yeah.
It's just like the most aggressive type
of thing. I'm more libertarian than you.
Yeah.
Dude, that's pointless.
Which is fun sometimes, but yes, oftentimes it can devolve. But, if somebody is given like a genuine insult that they were provoked into, I'm totally cool with it. But what I see all the time is, and I didn't know this term existed until recently, is edgelording. Where it's another form of grifting is what it is. You just go say the most what might be socially unacceptable thing possible to try and drive people to your page. And
I think people are doing that with, of course, Israel and Palestine right now with that whole conflict. I think that's what's going on. Because I'm sorry, there's just no way you can have such a, anyone can have such an absolutely sure, positive position on that right now. I don't have all the information.
I don't even know. I couldn't even point that out on a fucking globe, dude.
Well, like, I could point it out on a globe, Brad. I at least
oh,
are
you
going to
brag, dude? Yeah, Mr. Brain?
Yeah.
Okay. In the brain.
You know, yeah. So but no, but the thing is like, you know, I have just been listening to a lot. Here's what I do is I go to Jimmy Dore and I listen to them for a while. And then I go to Ben Shapiro and I feel like I'm getting it fairly well covered through the extreme opinions. There's just, it's hard. It's hard, man. I don't think there's an easy way to come down to it because you start playing out the scenarios. Like I start playing it out and I go, okay, yes, I can hear when you say to me that Israel wants an ethnostate. Do I think that's a good idea? No. Yeah, you're right. I think that's probably, that doesn't sound good on paper.
And
at
there's
all.
Also, we say that. I don't know what the population of Israel wants. I don't know if they're right. Along. Like, and, they,
but so, okay. So
like,
let's yeah. say we say, okay, we get rid of it. There's no two state. It's just one state. And now all the is now it's no really, there's no Israel anymore because now there's all the Palestinians. They'll take them over. They'll, you know, vote through votes and stuff like that. Yeah. And now do we want a nuclear armed country.
Ben Shapiro. Do you want a nuclear armed Ben Shapiro?
I don't know. It's, you know, people say, well, I don't know. It's so, there's, it, and that's the thing is like, I don't think there's an easy answer.
So what are the consequences of an answer like that? So I think we have this idea of a nuclear armed state and we just assume what we know about nuclear arms and what the impact of that would be. I don't actually know what the impact of giving another country nuclear arms when there are countries that have nuclear arms.
Well, sure. But I guess what I'm getting at is people are so adamant that you got to have the right opinion. You got to have the cool
Absolutely.
Opinion.
Absolutely.
And fuck that. I don't know. It's okay not to know.
I don't really know.
I don't want to see Palestinian babies get buried alive in buildings.
Yeah, well, explain this binder underneath your bed.
I don't want to see that. Yeah, right. I don't want to see that. But I also don't want to see, innocent Israeli families, murdered in their beds.
I don't want to see anybody killed. I don't want to see anybody fighting over these. Like, they make it this religious war, and I know they've been fighting. I know that the narrative we're told about the war, I don't know what it's like on the ground and what the people believe. I really don't know. And I know that, like, it for me, I'm so anti, I'm like aggressively anti-war. It breaks my heart. It really does when I see stories about killing whoever's being killed. I hate it.
And I'm anti-war as well, but I'm also a history nerd.
Yeah.
And it's always been. How do we separate something that's been so, you know what I'm saying?
And my question with that is, like, you have these factions that have been fighting. Is what throughout history has led them to fight, especially when we look right now. Whoever writes the history of right now, so if some people had their way, 50 years from now, students in American schools, public schools, will be learning about the worst day in American history, January 6th. And they'll be learning a lie is what they'll be learning. And they'll be organized around that lie to behave in certain ways. And so I wonder what throughout history these factions that have been fighting.
That's happened to us. Sure, yeah, sure.
Like, what's organized these people? It's the same type of propaganda machine, I think, that it's just – I don't even know what the answer is, but – I mean, I know what the answer is intellectually. It's that stop fucking listening to the people who are the most charming and can organize you that you identify with. Not necessarily stop listening to them, but question them harder than the people that you hate so that we're more reasonable about things and we're more Aristotle and our cognitive resources will get drained. But we have to fucking question everything, and everything the propagandists do and they've done throughout time is put leaders in front of us and put us in situations that force cause behavior without questioning.
Yes.
And I don't know how to I don't know the answer to that.
No, I don't either. I think honestly you do what most of us do and you learn a way to survive within this weird system that we have to live in.
Yeah, you pick another libertarian to go after that motherfucker.
Yeah.
No, it is like maybe with more awareness, and I don't know what the connection internet is like over there, but maybe so there's like the back and forth where internet is bad because it connects us and rots our brain, but also we can communicate, we can be more aware of things that we previously wouldn't be aware of.
Well, you
know,
in Biden's correspondence speech, he referred to it as in today's fragmented media, right? And I thought that was an interesting way to phrase it.
Yeah, you're right.
Fragmented.
Yeah. So we're the Nazis in that.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Well, yeah. Or they say things like, well, you know, the right wing noise machine. Well, you know what the right wing noise machine is that they're referring to? People Fox. Like you and I. I'm not even. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't even call myself right wing. But
alternative. That, yeah.
That's what I would. I guarantee you. If a clip of this show was played on CNN, they go, look, here's a two right wing extremists.
Absolutely.
Right,
conspiracy theorist. And so, like, I mean, my channel's been basically demonetized for like 5 years now. It didn't used to be. And the growth of it stopped. I probably once a week at this point, I get a notification saying that a copyright strike, even though totally fair use. I mean, it's the easiest case of fair use there's ever been. And they say, you can challenge this, but if you challenge it and you lose, we're going to give you a strike and your channel might get kicked off. So they've controlled through the technology companies these platforms to actually – they actually have silenced people who tell the truth in those ways. Force Mommy says – that she has many actual commies in power up in Colorado to focus on. In Colorado, I can imagine you're in the fire up there.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah.
Same for Nate, lives in California.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I lived there for 7 years. Yeah. I'm so sorry. I'm so glad to leave.
Where in California did you live, Ian?
I lived in Sherman Oaks, Burbank, and Glendale.
Yeah.
So the LA area.
Is that ghetto or?
No, Glendale is really nice. Glendale's a nice neighborhood. It's very heavily Armenian population. It's where they had, you know, they had the big, huge street brawl where all these pride activists were trying to force Pride Month into the library, and all these Armenian parents showed up, and it was this giant street brawl. I mean, cops were like, "What are we going to do?" The whole neighborhood is fighting you.
You have half the people fighting, demanding more dicks in children's books, pictures of them.
Yeah, Armenians were really interesting people, man. I'd never, you know, living in Florida, I was not exposed to, you know, heavily Armenian. But then when I lived in an Armenian neighborhood, it's pretty cool, man.
In Florida, you were... Yeah, go ahead.
No, Florida was Puerto Ricans, Cubans. Now it's a lot of Haitians, too, but not so many when I was growing up there.
I was going to say, according to my research in Florida, you were exposed to a lot of public masturbation in gas stations.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Florida was a fun place to grow up, man. Wild.
I bet, man. I like Florida.
Wild.
I lived there for a little while.
It was so much fun.
A little quick story here. I don't know if you know anything about the Boy Scouts, but if you don't, you never will, because the Boy Scouts of America announced today that it will rebrand to Scouting America. Scouting America.
Well, it's good. I'm sure everything's fixed now. All the problems with kids are fixed. Good.
Right. Everything's good now because you don't have to worry.
The name is just Scouting America. And so what are you Eagle Scouting? So it's a verb now, right?
I don't know what
scouting
it is.
Scouting America.
It's very confusing now. It's
scouting
right.
America
scouting America.
Well, we're not looking for boys.
You're scouting
anymore.
America for children to poison. Scouting. America. I mean, it sounds like a predatory, like a predator. The way they're Scouting America, and we'd like to introduce new, just released from prison, just an army of pedophiles to lead it because it's inclusive and it's welcoming.
Welcome every youth and family in America. So I guess what they're so the Boy Scouts, but the Girl Scouts get to stay the Girl Scouts, right?
Well, I guess so. I was confused by that because apparently
they're different organizations. So the Girl Scouts get to stay the Girl Scouts, but the Boy Scouts, well, we got to get. So I think the message is we have to get rid of all these penises.
That's what I was thinking too. I think it's we are going to be Scouting America because we want our children to know that if one year they want to be a boy,
Yeah.
That's fine. And if they want to lop it off and be a girl the next year, that's fine. And if they want to come back and be a boy again the year after that, they can sew it right back on because we're scouting America.
We're scouting America for young little penises.
For young genitals to chop off.
For young little penises that we can cut off.
So that our...
Throw in the woods.
So that our new leaders can have a straw to sip their martinis out of.
Yeah.
The Boy Scouts of America, this is from their website, announced that it will rebrand to Scouting America, reflecting the organization's new change. And it comes as the organization celebrates the fifth anniversary of welcoming girls into Club Cub Scouting and Scout BSA programs. And says that Scouting America currently serves more than 176,000 girls and young women across all programs. I don't like that they're so cis in the way they talk about this.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
Says their new mission remains unchanged. They're committed to teaching young people to be prepared for life. Well, I guess they are teaching them to be prepared for kind of a progressive future.
Yeah, but like, listen, look, I'm all for the Girl Scouts. I think it's great where it's a place where girls can go and hang out with each other and be girls.
Learn how to scissor.
It's different. When girls get together, it's different. Just like when a bunch of guys get together, it's different.
Learn how to scissor, yeah.
Yeah, we learn how to scissor. You got girl scissors, you got boy scissors.
Right, different. They're very different.
Very different, right?
Different parts.
But there are just, like, this idea that it is, this idea where they say, well, it's just a social, these things are just social constructs. These things are just social constructs, like what we say boys do and what we say girls do. It's just a social construct. So we're going to replace it with our new social construct.
Yeah. It's like everybody's a Mr. Potato Head. They can be anything.
Yeah, it's like, no, maybe it's a, yeah, I agree. It's a social construct, probably for a very good fucking reason.
They have on day one, they just have welcome to Scouting America.
Oh, they scout cookies. I love it.
That's funny. They scout cookies. We want everybody to know that we have a box over here that.
No, we can't say box anymore.
Well, we have a container over here that if anybody here wants to switch genders, male or female, we have real vaginas and penises that you can experiment with.
Yeah. We have them in these jars here.
Yeah, but just make
sure
you put them back
later.
They're
in these pickled
jars. They're pickled. Yeah, they're definitely pickled.
Yeah.
So don't
eat. We have Napoleon's over here.
Napoleon's shoelace leather penis. It's 1 inch over here. It says, I'll show you this part. I put some old script. So this is like, to me, this is kind of like perfectly. So this is the opposite of what MIT did by stopping their DEI stuff, which, by the way, MIT will find another way to do that. When the DEI stuff fails, it's not that they give up on that stuff. It's that they just find another name to call it and another avenue to pursue the same goals. But it says here, Scouting America provides a welcoming environment where youth can become the best version of themselves by learning from and respecting each other. And they encourage. And so to me, that means that Scouting is no longer going to be about learning to identify berries and start a fire and tie different knots. It's going to be about, are you recognizing someone's proper pronouns?
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be, you know, they're going to go out and it's going to be camping, but it's going to be like, okay, guys, we're going to do DEI camping. So that means, okay, if you're white, you guys come over here. You guys are sleeping outside, no tents.
Right, and lay down.
Lay down. You're going to
pick
on
up
these...
the whips, black children.
pick up the whips, black children. For this camping trip, you are in control of all the white scouts.
Yes, yes. It's the Stanford prison experiment is what it becomes.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to... Why? Why not just, like... Do what we did. We had Pinewood Derbies, and we did camping, and we learned how to
scissor by the lake.
We learned how to fold flags, and, you know.
Fold fags.
Yeah, we fished. Oh. We did, you know, like boy stuff. We brought our pocket knives out and, you know, stabbed things.
Chopped the motherfucker up.
Motherfuckers up. Come on.
Yeah, that's how you learn, man. Girl Scouts sell cookies. Right. Boy Scouts.
We made s'mores. We stand by. Yeah, the Scoutmaster would tell us ghost stories.
Really?
It was fun. Yeah. It's fun.
Did he do it? Like, are you sure he was?
Yeah, he would tell us a story. about the
little boy that had a visitor in the night. Creeped into his tent and helped him feel warm.
And said, "Is that your pet weasel?" Yeah. You want to pet him?
Yes.
He gets bigger and happier the more you pet him. All right. This is...
keep going, Ian. We started with jizz on the courtroom wall. Why not end with jizz all over the scout tent?
This is the problem with being comedians, is you keep going.
We can't help ourselves but go dirty.
Going.
I think we've established at this point that we're going to be a little dirty, if not a lot dirty.
Yeah.
Ian's stories sound more like SNL cartoon boy skits.
Canteen
boy skits. Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. So let's just go to the last thing. Do you have a couple minutes to watch this roast?
Sure.
Because I want to end on just this is definitely going to be vulgar, so earmuffs. But there was the roast of Tom Brady, I think it was Tom Brady, on Netflix the other day.
Okay.
And I haven't watched all of it, but I did see a clip of this guy named Tony Hinchcliffe. I'd never heard of this guy before. And I've watched a lot of roasts. I've hosted a lot of roasts. I was a bit of a roast master myself back in the day. I was good at it. And so I got asked to do it a lot. And I became really disappointed in the roast that I saw. Until this one. Mm. Like, this is like the best roasting. And it's vulgar and it's fucking great. So I wanted to share it because I haven't seen it all.
I love it.
And I think this guy did a fantastic job.
He's hilarious. Tony Hinchcliffe is hysterical.
Definitely, dude. The guy's super, super funny. Here he is. Oh, shit. I'm just listening to it, not sure. I hate it when I do that, like watching it, and you're just looking at me like, what's he doing sitting there silently?
What the fuck, Brad?
Okay, here it is.
Hey, Tom.
Can you hear that?
This is great.
Yeah.
Nice shoes, bitch. Did you win those in the divorce? Oh. I love it. This is a fucking stellar dais we have up here. Randy Moss, I was upset that Bill Belichick said he wouldn't give you a ring. You know what else doesn't have a ring? Bill Belichick's phone.
Oh,
everyone's
shit.
Up here talking about what a big winner Tom is. But let me tell you, Tom is afraid of the Giants, which is why Kevin Hart is hosting tonight.
I love how they just never stop
all
on
night,
Kevin Hart.
He's been using the stool that Aaron Hernandez kicked out from under himself.
Yeah. That's funny.
It's true. Shit. Kevin is so small that when his ancestors picked cotton, they called it deadlifting. So many great quarterbacks up here. You know who doesn't pass? Kevin Hart on any movie he's offered. But we are here for Tom. Tom Brady is a patriot, which is surprising considering he looks like a Confederate fag. Tom Brady, why do you look like a gay Tom Brady?
He does. He actually does.
Clearly your ex-wife takes after you. I hear she's out there draining balls right now.
Oh,
people
shit.
Love you, Tom. You have the same fan base as Kyle Rittenhouse. Gronk, I'm happy you could take a break from writing Santa letters to be here today.
He's stupid looking.
Yeah.
I knew you were here when we were all out of chocolate milk backstage. By the way, Gronk, that's Kevin Hart sitting next to you. That's not your shadow. Gronk, you look like the Nazi that kept burning himself on the ovens. You look like the final boss in George Floyd, the video game. The great Jeff Ross, ladies and gentlemen. Jeff is so Jewish, he only watches football for the coin toss. And, of course, throwing long bombs at brown people. Nikki Glaser, what a performance tonight, am I right? Absolutely killer set. Nikki, who wrote that? Where was that your entire career? Nikki has such a bad eating disorder, the industry keeps shoving her down our throat. You might recognize her from her podcast appearances, specials, and winning the Triple Crown at Churchill Downs. You might recognize Kevin as the jockey that rode her. And that's Churchill Downs the racetrack, not to be confused with what Jeff Ross looks like when he smokes a cigar. Sam J, everybody, killed. An obese African-American lesbian. So by having here, Netflix checked off a lot of boxes. Yeah. She is a black lesbo, which means she doesn't eat pussy. She all hell gnaws on it. Earthquakes on his feet. I'm killing.
Hell yeah.
Sam from this. Her entire Wikipedia could fit into a fortune cookie. Andrew Schultz, I'm glad you took a break from watching YouTube videos on how to dap up black dudes correctly. Schultz's mom is a professional ballroom dancer, which means she's a stripper that talks too much. Bert Kreischer is a king. He looks like if the Tiger King and the Liver King only ate Burger King and had a liver that looked like Martin Luther King got beat up by Rodney King.
He's killing it. This must be the. This was one
he
of the
is,
best
man.
I've ever seen.
He's
dude.
Nailing it.
And how
about the appearance from the great Ron Burgundy, huh? A whale's vagina, which reminds me, Kim Kardashian's here. She's had a lot of black men celebrate in her end zone. Kim, word of advice, close your legs. You have more public beef than Kendrick and Drake. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Netflix.
She is so funny. It's so funny to watch a pretty girl get made fun of because they don't know how to respond. They have no clue. It's always been, it's very interesting to me. It's like, oh, this is your first time ever getting made fun of.
We go to a roast, you got to be prepared.
You got to be prepared. And come on.
Man. They cut us off on YouTube for playing that.
Did they really?
Yeah, we're still on Rockfin, but they cut us off on YouTube. Bullshit, man. We just played a little bit of it. We didn't play the whole fucking thing. That sucks, man.
Yeah, well, that's what it's going to be like when the AI determines. Like, they're going to tell you how much food you should have eaten.
Says I might have
going to be like, stop eating.
One. Yeah, so like, right. We did not. We only played a clip. This is allowed by the fair use. I know the fair use law.
Yeah.
I've challenged it dozens of times for like a decade. And playing that clip is allowed. Typically under the fair use law.
Yeah. They got a computer out there.
Maybe Netflix, it is Netflix, so maybe they're like, so Elon Musk allows it on Twitter, but we're commenting on it, you know? We're not just playing it straight through.
Well, that's the thing is YouTube, they always make these decisions and then they go, oh, yeah, our bad. You're back.
Yeah, they do that sometimes. Sometimes, I got one strike, and it's
That's what I mean. But what I'm saying is, they can make any decision they want, and then they just go, "Oh, whoopsie."
And what they'll do too is they'll be like, you'll get an email where it's like, "Hey, we just removed a video from 5 years ago and gave you a strike because it's election season, and that
there's no statute of limitations
right
on
You're
these
not,
videos.
Free speech is not allowed right now, and the statute of limitations.
Yeah, it's an election season. We can't have this heated."
Yeah.
Political talk. We can't have people who actually have opinions talking.
Yeah,
about things.
Man. I just wanted to share that because I thought it was like a. I thought he did a great job.
He's amazing. First of all, I don't want the fact that they struck it to spoil it. I think that that's. That is. I mean, he was just nailing it. Because it is not hard. I mean, the roast jokes.
There's a format for him.
There's a format for him, but even though there's a format for him, he just showed that you can elevate that. Like,
dude,
you just have to keep. He was just hitting home runs. It was like watching a guy just hit 15 home runs in a row.
Yeah,
like,
man.
It's crazy.
I hadn't killed like that, not in front of an audience like that, but when I used to do roast all the time, like, I got really good at it. And there's a while for a couple of years where I was like hosting every roast in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, before shows, I'd be talking to people who came to it and I'd be like, I'm not a bad person.
I'm
about to go say a bunch of really mean things.
Well, right, and that's the
thing.
Were you
a Jim Carwish's roast?
I was not, but that would have been great.
Fucking destroyed him, dude.
Oh,
I hosted that one.
Oh, that would have been great.
It's fucking great.
but, I think, like, The roast is a perfect example of what comedians, what the whole thing is about. It's just about venting it, you know. Don Rickles at the end of every one of his sets, you know, right? He would address the crowd and he would say, you know, takes a big person to be made fun of. I see a lot of big people out here. Thank you. Good night.
It's like old school trolling. So before Twitter and stuff, it's like what trolling was. And because Twitter's just people insulting each
other. It's how, like, I grew up with a lot of friends from different races, and we all fucked with each other about our different races.
Yeah.
We all said fucked up shit to each other all the time.
Yeah, and probably you're prepared get us kicked for off that YouTube. Too. Right.
And these are just conversations. Yeah, we were prepared for it. Exactly.
And so you're thinking about at home, like if somebody, you know, slammed you before, or if there's somebody who it's at school, a lot of people develop their sense of humor because when they're younger, maybe they don't hit puberty at the same time other people do. They're smaller, and the way that they fight is words.
Yeah, you just embarrass the shit out of somebody.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's like, that's kind of how I developed it when I was a kid. I would fucking pick people apart because I hit puberty late and yeah, like you can make a fucking giant cry. You know, you say the right shit.
Yeah, when did you have your period?
I had it a couple weeks ago for the first time.
Wow, you did develop late.
Yeah, I'm not pregnant, so thank goodness. Yeah. Yeah, so, well, I think we can end the show on being pregnant. Thanks, Ian, for joining me.
Hey, I had a blast.
Yeah, it was fun. And thank you guys for listening. Sorry, I got struck for those still. You guys on Rockfin are still listening. And
we'll fight. We're going to fight. Yeah.
We're going to fight this tooth and nail.
Yeah, we're going to fight the they, them.
I'm going to have my period all over YouTube.
Yeah.
And they'll be sorry after that. All right. We'll talk to you guys next time. Have a fantastic rest of your day.